I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Sue Thomas, you know how I started my day at my home this morning? Are you there? Are you there, Sue? Are you there? I don't think she's there. Dave Murray, she's standing you up. I thought Sue was going to be there because she knew that you were in the studio. What I was going to tell her is, I already told you this, that I had no Wi-Fi this morning, and then it miraculously came back on. Now, the audience, Dave, has heard the saga of Charter Spectrum at my home throughout the summer because it's gone off so much. And then I'm sitting here getting ready to talk to you, and I just get a message from Ameren that my power is out, which also means my Wi-Fi is out. So it's been an interesting day here in St.
Louis. And there's not, I just checked the outages in St. Louis. There's like 1,500. Outages.
Not that much.
Not that much.
Well, what did I hear in Georgia and Florida? Like 2 million people, right?
2 million people, yeah. Yeah.
Well, and welcome back to St. Louis.
Thank
How
you.
Are you?
I'm great, and it's great to be back in town.
We'll see if Sue's there now. Sue, are you there?
I'm here. Okay. Sorry about that. Dave Murray, I'm so sorry I'm missing you.
Sue, where are you?
Darn it.
She's at home. She had some challenges, so we used the technology this afternoon. But it's good to have Dave back. And one of the reasons you're here, I played the Killers there. That's the big headliner on Sunday night, Evolution Festival. But you're pretty besties with Steve Shankman.
Right.
And he invited you in, like last year, to kind of handle some of the meteorological chores, if I can get that out.
Yeah, I've worked with Steve for 40-plus years, doing a lot of, when they... He and Irv owned Riverport, did a lot of stuff at Riverport for him, Busch Stadium, you name it, whatever he has outside
events. I love
events.
Shankman. And, I was at, 2 nights ago, I was at the Factory. Have you been to the Factory yet? That's one of the new venues, and it's out in Chesterfield. Phenomenal. And you know what's interesting? And what I remember about the Factory when it opened, Sue, have you been there yet?
I haven't. Yeah. I've heard only good things.
It's spectacular. But what one of the things that Steve wanted to do, and this was smart, is not only make it a great venue for us, the audience, but for the bands, too. Like, cool things behind the scenes, make it comfortable for them. And every time I'm there, the bands comment, and this happened with Bare Naked Ladies and Toad the Wet Sprocket and Glenn Phillips, they said how nice and how awesome the venue was. Very impressed with it.
I'll pass that on to Steve when I see him tomorrow.
So the first story before we get to the weekend here, Dave, is Billy Joel and Sting, which got postponed, which I think caught a lot of us off guard. I knew that maybe it was in jeopardy because of all the rain, but now at this point, it looks like the rain will have moved out tonight, right?
Yeah, at least it will. It will after 8 o'clock. I know the show was supposed to start at 7, but after 8 o'clock, there should not be much in the way of steady rain left in the heart of St. Louis and off to the west and to the north, still to the south and to the east. But it really surprised me. I think it caught a lot of people by surprise because Billy plays in rain all the time.
Yeah, they cited the the staff and I guess everybody putting the
safety
stage together,
issues.
The safety
yeah.
issues. But and then they moved it not to tomorrow, but to Sunday. It's good that people still get to see the show. And by the way, I kind of gave the audience a little bit of a tip. They're not really publicizing that you can get a refund for that show, but I've been told that you can
refunds. Yeah, they've got to do that.
I would think so.
Yeah.
But they didn't come out and say, hey, they just said your tickets are good for Sunday night.
I saw that release. But, there are folks who came in from out of town.
Of course.
And Sunday night may not work for them.
Right.
They've got to travel back to wherever their home is.
It's a regional show. Now, Evolution Festival is the same way. So what are we looking at for the weekend? It might be a little soggy there on the grounds at Forest Park.
It is soggy. Have been down there all day long. They're managing it. Well, the good news is the field where the audience is with the secondary stage and the main stage, it's actually in pretty good shape. Yes, there's muddy areas, but the field has been draining well. Hopefully, we'll have 12 hours or so of very limited rain before the gates open at 2 o'clock tomorrow, and the drainage will continue. They're dealing with a lot of mud problems behind the main stage where the big trucks have to roll in. But they're establishing a good protocol on how to handle it.
So Shankman was on last week. We were promoting the festival, getting some excitement built up. And one of the things he's mentioned this the last couple of times, this is the great irony, that one of the reasons they switched to this weekend from August is because a little cooler, certainly, and then typically less of a chance of rain, and then there's a hurricane.
Right. Yeah, it is. The idea was cooler, maybe a little more interest rather than the end of summer and school starting and all that. But also is the chances of thunderstorms are much smaller. And we had some thunderstorm problems for a couple of hours on the Saturday of last year's festival. And it was, I mean, a week ago, it looked like it was going to be near perfect. And then this hurricane formed. And normally, if you get a storm in North Florida, we don't worry about it at all here in St. Louis. That thing's never going to come up at us. But what happened was a very rare event is there was a little upper air low pressure system over us. And so what that thing is doing is sucking the moisture from this hurricane, which is well inland now, but it's pulling all its moisture into this low pressure system. And those two things, they're both low pressure systems, will dance around each other for a little bit, and then they'll merge into one and drift into the Ohio Valley. Now, it's been pouring rain in the Tennessee and the Ohio Valley, Appalachians. You're going to see some rainfall amounts of 30-plus inches out of this thing.
Yeah, suffice it to say, if those concerts were all taking place down in Kentucky or Tennessee, we would be canceled, right?
Right. Nothing would be going on. It just, you know, that would be a huge safety issue.
Do you have a sense of how much rain we've gotten here today? They were saying maybe up to 2 inches, I think, forecast.
I don't. It looked like maybe 1 to 2. We had, you know, 4 inches of rain Sunday and Monday. Today, when I left to come down here, which was around 2:30, it looked like we had we have a rain gauge on site. It looked like about half an inch, and then we've had some pretty good rain here over the last 3 hours. So I would think close to an inch before the steady rain is done.
Sue, I had to catch myself there. I said they. I'm like, you are the they, Dave. What am I? You are they. So what would you say just about the hurricane overall? Because this was just such a big swath, and part of the reason that all this rain is coming up here, as you indicated. What do you make of this particular hurricane? I think we're still kind of waiting for information because it takes a little time for cameras and for people to assess damage.
It takes a lot of time, having covered these for years and flown into them. And stuff that, you know, you've got to wait until the storm gets away. There's power lines down all over the place. It's hard to get in. Helicopters can't get up. It typically takes a good, after landfall, a good 24 hours to get the TV crews in there. Now, you might get some cell phone video, things like that, and get news helicopters up to really, you know, fly along that coastline to see the damage. And it will be breathtaking, I guarantee you.
Yeah, well, it landed as Category 4, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And it was interesting to me that Tallahassee, like in recorded history, had never really been in the aim of a hurricane.
Right, which was kind of hard to believe when you think about it. But a lot of times the storms that go into the Big Bend area are moving to the northeast. They're not moving north. They're swinging away from Tallahassee, and Tallahassee is inland. This also, it was a tropical storm as it went over Atlanta this morning. And the circulation was right on top of Atlanta. It was fascinating to watch on radar. So it's and that's why the power out 2 million plus of outages.
Did you say you have flown into the eye before?
Yeah.
So what was that like?
I always use the explanation of you're sitting down, I'm going to come around and shake your chair as hard as I can for 8 hours.
Oh, wow.
And
8 hours?
Like that.
Oh.
It's a trip.
Nope.
It really is a trip.
That doesn't sound like fun, though.
No.
It's fun. It's fun as a meteorologist to be in there, but as my wife Janice will say, when you got off that plane, you were kind of a real, like an exorcist shade of green.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know,
brutal.
I went up with a Blue Angel pilot last year, and I came with that same green look. Right.
Well, those guys are trying to make you.
Well, they were. There is a part of that. There is a challenge there, I think, for them. And I used the bag. I will say that.
Yep,
I was very lucky. They didn't have to clean up the cabin.
But they feel good about that. That's success for them.
It is. Dave Murray is with us, chief meteorologist here at 97.1 FM Talk, formerly here in St. Louis. He's retired. But let's talk about the festival a little bit, because Fred was telling me you were here last year.
Yep.
And you get some interesting behind-the-scenes vantage points of how the bands are doing stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm behind the scenes almost the whole time. I'll venture out into the field from time to time, see what's going on, see what kind of food they have and stuff like that, say hi to folks. But on the main stage, and the secondary stage is kind of similar, but the main stage has the big groups. Billy Idol and Beck coming in tomorrow, the Killers, which is huge. coming in on Sunday
night. Yeah, Tom Morello joined the lineup because they had a cancellation. Yeah. Yeah.
But how they do it is, you know, the first couple of acts on the main stage don't come with a lot of stuff. They have kind of control of it. But the third group, the fourth group, and the fifth group, all their stuff is on stage, stacked up behind where these guys play. So when the third group comes on, all that stuff moves out. Stagehands put it all out. They come in and play. There's about 20 minutes to tear that down. Music goes to the second stage. And then the next wave of equipment rolls out to the point
where... It's a process. Where,
yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. And then that goes away. And then the third one rolls out. So you can do it relatively quickly. It's not like you're tearing everything down and then have to bring everything in.
Well, these music festivals have become so predominant in the spring and summer across the country.
Yep.
You know, I think we all remember when you would talk about just maybe a handful of them, and now they're everywhere. And
right.
St. Louis has been a part of a lot of that because we had Lou Fest, and unfortunately that died, and Steve's
right.
bringing
and
back
Steve,
this.
Steve really wants to bring this idea back, and the amount of planning and the amount of safety and the amount of people that make it work would make your mind spin of how much fun. The booklet on safety issues, of every kind of safety issue you can think, is about 5 inches thick.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's
even more challenging. Even more challenging this weekend. So tomorrow, the big headliner would be Beck. Billy Idol's there. I want to go see Billy Idol. I've never seen him before. Now Rodgers and Chic. There's a guy named Pete Yorn that I love. I've been a fan of his for a couple of decades. Then I just have to highlight this, Sue. I don't know this band, but I think I'm going to go see Sean Thompson's Weird Ears. That's the name of the band.
There you go.
They're one of the early acts. And then on Sunday, you'll have Sunvolt, Lola Kirk. Lola Kirk is the daughter of Simon Kirk from Bad Company, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So a little rock royalty there. Todd Rundgren. I don't know Killer Mike. That's one of the acts. L. King, who's fantastic. Tom Morello was the pinch hitter for Jane's Addiction.
Right.
And then The Killers, one of my favorite bands on the planet, here on Sunday night to headline.
And,
so it's a great festival.
And I understand, this is a couple of days old, but I understand The Killers are going to play a little longer than they were going to
play. Oh, that I didn't know.
Yeah.
So give me some news there.
So when Jane's Addiction blew up,
a longer set.
It was like, okay, how do we solve this problem? Because that was a good hole in the lineup.
Well, it's an interesting point you make, and maybe I can explain something a little further here, because with music festivals, you're going to see a set that is typically shorter, especially for the headliners, than you would if they're playing, you know, Hollywood Casino Amphitheater or something like that, because it is a festival and they're trying to keep things on time and there's curfews and stuff. So that's encouraging, because I think maybe it would have been an hour, 15-minute show. Maybe it's going to be closer to 2 hours, hour 45 or something
like
that.
Yeah, I think we can probably, I think we could easily get 1:45 out of them, maybe a little bit longer.
That is awesome. Do you like any of those acts? Are you a fan of any of those things?
I'm a fan of The Killers. Mainly because I have one brother, older brother, as I like to point out, and that he is a massive Killers fan, and he will travel around the country to see him.
Sure,
he's gotten to know the band a little bit, which is kind of neat. And I was hoping he would come out for this, but he just decided kind of last minute not to. He's in Virginia.
Well, I would put them in my top tier of bands.
I think a lot of people are excited about it. They have a lot of hit songs. They have songs that you may not realize it's them.
Well, and Brandon Flowers is a showman. He's from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
He's a little, like the last tour when they were here, they played at Chaffetz Arena, and it was very Vegas and on purpose because he can be flashy that
way. They're all from Vegas, and my favorite song is, it's a throwback, is Joel... The Lump of Coal. It's a Christmas song. Have you ever heard of that?
I think I have, because they always do a Christmas song every year. Brandon releases one. Yes.
And Kimmel, being also from Vegas, brought the
they
Killers
would do it on
did
Kimmel
a lot.
Show.
Yeah. And it's a funny song. It's just a great song.
Yeah. Some
and
of
the video
been,
is great.
Some have been a little campy. Some of them have been a little bit more traditional. Well, that's awesome. Sue, do you have any interest in any of those artists? You'd like
I
to see Chic.
Like- Yeah, I love, I love Chic quite a bit. And actually, that's a pretty good mix. I like The Killers as well. That would be a fun show.
We're going to take Alexa Reardon on Sunday night. I think if we go tomorrow to see Billy Idol, we're going to keep her at home. But she's a music fan, so we'll see if we can expose her to The Killers. And I don't know about Tom Morello with my young daughter's ears, but he is a good guitar player, so we'll see about that.
He is a good guitar player, but I've listened to some of his stuff, and it's can cross the line.
It can't cross the line. Yes, it can. Well, Dave, it's great to see you in person. You don't make it back to St. Louis that often. Everything going well for you in California?
Everything is great. Everything's wonderful. We have a grandson now who's ready to push five at the first of the year. They live in the Midwest, but they come out frequently. And, yeah, life is good.
Did I read, because well, first of all, I subscribe to every damn newspaper in America, I think, because I always meet the payroll. But I do love the LA Times, and I read the LA Times all the time. Did I see that, and I've been to, I used to go to Hollywood, I don't know, 6 to 8 times a year when I was doing movie junkets for Channel 4. I haven't been there in a while. But I do remember when I was there in the early summer, this June gloom thing would happen, right? And I heard, is there a little bit of a fall gloom right now going on?
There is. It depends on where you live. Obviously, if you live right along the coast, you get the marine layer almost every day, and it burns. It can burn off as quickly as 8 o'clock in the morning. Most of the time, it's 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, and then late morning, the afternoon, and evening are spectacular. Tons of sunshine, a hot temperature, 75.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah, man.
It is. It really is perfect. And you know, but if you go inland, if you go over the mountain range, it can be, if we're 75 in Laguna Beach, it could be 100 in the valley.
Dang. Oh.
I mean, that's
dramatic.
The big,
right.
And that's only, we're talking maybe 15 miles, you know, as the crow flies. So there's a lot of different climate out there. And there are four distinct seasons. There's no question there's a winter, fall, spring and summer.
By the way, on our weather front, let me just say this, just because we all fancy ourselves, you know, amateur meteorologists, but I like to look at the forecast and see what's happening.
You're one of them.
Yes, exactly. But I love the fall. I can't wait to burn more in my fire pit because I'm a pyro, Dave. But it does look like this is the weekend where things kind of shift in the other direction with temperatures, right?
Yeah. It started to shift really last weekend. It was just like a week ago, we were 95 kind of thing. It's the days are getting shorter now, and it's harder to build up tremendous heat. That's not to say we won't see another 88, 89, 90 degree day.
I've been in the deer stand in Howard County in November when it's been in the 80s, in the upper 80s.
There's been Thanksgivings here that have been close to 90. You know, you think of Thanksgiving, you're in your sweater and family around, and you're all just, oh, man, it's so hot. Put the AC on.
It can happen for sure. Dave, great to see you.
Good to see you.
Sue, I'm sorry you didn't get to see him in person here in the studio.
So am I.
Shame
sorry,
on you.
Dave.
Come see us again. Don't wait till next Evolution Festival. We'll keep our fingers crossed for everything to go well this weekend. Thank you, Dave Murray. 5:23, we got Kilmeade coming up. Ooh, that didn't work out. There we go. Not only a great killer song, but a blistering Lindsey Buckingham guitar solo on this one. We're coming back with more in a moment.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
No concert tonight postponed, but we'll keep you posted on everything else. It was great to see Dave Murray talking about Evolution Festival here in the studio. Maggie Smith died today, legendary actress. We will feature her in the audio cut of the day. I've got some other stuff, too. Look, it's been an amazing day with the hurricane and the aftermath of that and all the rain down in Georgia, the power outages. We're obviously getting some remnants here in St. Louis as well, but not as bad as a good portion of the country. We had Bibi Netanyahu at the UN today. You know, I sent this to Fred. I didn't get a chance to talk to him about this. Our friend Billboard Chris, and if you don't know who Billboard Chris is, he is a Canadian guy that has set out on a mission. He did this maybe 5 or 6 years ago to, and I love this answer because I asked Chris what this was all about and what he tells people. But he made it his mission to stop what he calls the worst child abuse scandal in the history of the planet. And that's all this trans nonsense. So Chris Elston is his name. He travels around the world, not just the country. He goes around the world, engages people on this topic. He tries to have civil discourse. He gets attacked quite a bit on these topics, but he always keeps it cool. He videotapes it. Well, he was invited to speak at the UN at, I think it was yesterday when he spoke, on that very topic, which I find somewhat interesting. We're going to try to get Chris Elston on the show on Monday afternoon. Right now, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, we don't often do this on a Friday. Brian Kilmeade back with us. You hear him every morning here on 97.1 FM Talk, the co-host of Fox and Friends. And, of course, you have his Saturday night show, One Nation, which airs in St. Louis at 8 p.m. Central. Brian, welcome back. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing good, Mark. How are you?
Well, I'm good. We got a lot of soggy rain here. They canceled the Billy Joel and Sting concert. Well, they postponed it. It was supposed to be tonight at Busch Stadium, but it's going to be on Sunday night. But you spent a lot of time in Florida, so what are you hearing from down there where you hang out?
Well, my area of the Jacksonville, Ponte Vedra area is okay. We saw Tampa's a mess. Georgia's getting slammed. We had that live reporter on the air. It's making a lot of news. While he's on the air, a woman is screaming for help. He looks over and sees the water creeping up because they called 911 because evidently they tell you not to help people because you're not professional. And then finally she's like, she would not stop screaming. So he said, you know what, I'm all going off the air. And he put the mic down and he went into the car and he saved her.
Yeah, it's amazing. I heard about that story earlier, and you know, obviously he puts his life at risk. And that's the thing with these, even we're seeing this around here with the 2 inches of rain that we are getting. What about a foot or two of rain? I mean, that's insane, and that's what they're dealing with in many parts of Florida and Georgia right now.
Yeah, you know, it's rainy here, but you know, the whole thing is nothing stopped. I got the UN right across the street. We had Zelensky was just in the building. I interviewed the General Secretary of NATO today, and it's been just, you know, New York is all locked down, and it's just crazy that word came out that Trump cannot do an outdoor rally because all the Secret Service is being extended at the UN. So it's the Iranians already affecting this election.
Wow.
So why don't, keep in mind, they hack into his computer, into his into his campaign. They send all the intelligence information to media outlets and to the Biden campaign and Harris, and we're assuming they didn't open it. Does anyone think they're not opening it? And they still do it. They're still hacking in. So they get the strategies, they get the addresses, who knows what corrupt things they're doing. And then you look at the investigation yesterday, the House and Senate, and I am more chagrined about the Secret Service than ever before. I thought, just to get ready, I'm just going to watch. I'm going to watch the raw. Well, I worked out last night. I just said, I'm just going to watch the raw C-SPAN 3 hours of testimony. It's unbelievable.
Devastating.
For example,
yeah.
You know that aren't the snipers, the Secret Service snipers, probably didn't kill this guy?
Well, I
you
heard that. Yeah, I heard that this morning. What, is there something to that? Because there's like missing information. I guess part of the missing information is the guy's body, right?
Oh yeah, the doctor did the autopsies on, and he said the exit wound was out of the left lip. All right, she came in the right head, side of the head. Where's the right side of the head? Towards the other side of the stage. Where were the snipers? On the other side. So the snipers also on recording. Ron Johnson said the snipers were getting shot at. Who's shooting at the snipers? So, I mean, is anyone not curious about this? I mean, we sit there to this day and examine the JFK assassination. We, through pictures, break down Abraham Lincoln and John Wilkes Booth and how he got into the theater and shot him in the head. But in 3 weeks, we're over this. I know they're not legendary American. Trump's not actually is a legendary American figure, whether you like him or not. But I mean, to think that he's within 3 weeks of being the next president, one country's trying to kill him, and what we do is we hand out indictments. Wow, how about threat of an attack if you keep this up?
Well, the whole Iranian angle, I think, is one of the more undercovered stories, maybe even of the year in connection with Trump. And, you know, I don't know. I think you'd agree with this, Brian. I feel like we know more about the second assassination attempt than we do even a little bit about what happened in Butler. And everything that comes out about Butler doesn't seem to be good for the Secret Service. And the testimony that you just referenced was devastating. And by the way, there's no theories about what the circumstances were. This is a bipartisan committee. Both the Democrats and the Republicans condemned the Secret Service and called for changes equally, which is good. I think it's good to see that, especially in this moment right now.
Yeah, I don't think that you can really be partisan and say, well, we only care about Republicans being shot at. No, we haven't really had that since RFK Senior. So we're really not being indifferent to it. Plus, his lunatics that want to see a Democrat did, you know, because they want redemption. We saw these idiots on January 6th. I don't want to talk about it, But there were idiots there that hurt in cops. What person who follows Trump would ever hit a cop? But they did that. So not everybody. Some people were walking through and, you know, were touristy. I don't want to go through that again. But I will say those are people that if you were at a Trump rally and you hit a cop, what were you listening to? But if you follow Trump and were disrespectful to law enforcement, then were you even paying attention to what Trump supporters are about? They're all about law enforcement. So I'm wondering what kind of lunatic might do that. So I think that's why you have Democrats like Jason Crow come out and say, I'm using my military background to really break this down and be a positive force.
Which is a good thing. Brian Kilmeade back with us. There's so much to talk to you about. I got to get your thoughts on Eric Adams. We've kind of talked about this over the last year. You know, something was going to happen. It finally happened. He tries to do a bit of a preemptive strike. I really don't know what to make of this. It certainly doesn't look good for Eric Adams.
Okay. I'm looking at this and I'm listening. You and I would never do this. We would not say, we're finally mayor. I have an idea. Let's call Turkey and let's go travel.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it. But to be a 10-year, now they said they've been going back 10 years to investigate him when he was Brooklyn Borough President. So you expect this thing to be just an open and shut case like P. Diddy. But instead, people look at it and go, there's a lot to fight here. Number one, if I am mayor, I have a legitimate reason to travel. Number one, I'm not in a small city. No offense to St. Louis, but this is and St. Louis is great and it's iconic. But New York is the biggest city, most famous city in America. If I'm the mayor of that city, it works to my advantage to enhance tourism and create relations and trade relations with other countries. It's like why you see a governor like Gavin Newsom in China. He's not really doing it for fun, although he could get experience. But for the most part, he's like, hey, you got to deal with my country. Why don't you build your factories here? So he's got a reason to travel. But do you have a reason to travel, coach? Do you have a reason to travel? Yes. Every reason to travel in first class only pay for coach ticket, that's a problem. If you have a reason you're paying, you should be in the Hampton Inn and in Ankara, you shouldn't be in a Four Seasons. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Especially when you pay a very low rate. That's an issue. Then you travel on Turkish Airlines around the world. That's a problem because you're paying nominal fees. All right. Is that a reason to take out for the first time in the history of New York a sitting mayor? And by the way, they used to be afraid to go after minorities, politicians, because it looks like you're targeting and people brought up, you know, unfairness. I have to just kind of turn that coin over. The coin, believe it or not, is he is a center-left Democrat. And there's a city council that is way to the left. So he's been standing in their way. He also called out Joe Biden. The federal government has called the biggest immigration catastrophe in New York history, and the federal government has let us down. Joe Biden cut him off. Evidently, he said that. He said, no, I'm not going to be able to get you any money. And he went in front of the microphones and complained. And that evidently is Joe Biden says, let's take this guy out. He's no persona non grata. I won't return his calls, nor do I want him at the White House. Donald Trump goes, this is the same formula they did for me. And Eric Adams just said something similar without using Trump's name. So just keep your eye on this.
No, I know. Yeah, I said this yesterday, it would be inconsistent of me to not at least be a little suspicious of this type of prosecution, given what we've seen with Trump and beyond. All right, I know you're going to do this, I think, tomorrow night, but Pennsylvania, it's going to all come down to Pennsylvania. And I think I heard you talking yesterday. You were out in Pennsylvania with McCormick, right? And that's part of your feature tomorrow night?
Yeah, Wednesday I went out there. We went to three stops. And I just want to get a slice of what it's like on the campaign trail. You know, and I don't want to be, he doesn't do the big rallies. Most of them don't. Goes to the supermarkets, goes to a women's working group, and then goes to an historical site. And he's on his bus, and they travel around. And he had to do this thing where he had to introduce himself. And losing to Dr. Oz and then staying at it afterwards really helped him do that. He says, I honestly think that there's nowhere but in Pennsylvania who's not going to vote for me because they never heard of me. And that was one of my goals. And that's why in many polls it's 44-44. Not easy to be the sitting senator whose dad, who was three terms, and his dad was governor. But he really has done nothing. He's one of these do-nothing senators who votes all the time with Joe Biden. So it's really not hard to define who he is, even though he never talks about what he's done. He only talks about his opponents. So I wanted to just go and also find out what it's like to almost die at an assassination, to go back to Butler, where it just happened. He's going to do it again. Watching Corey Comptor's head get blown off, which sounds callous, but it's not. It's horrible. And he's going to be honored next week, next Tuesday, I think, or next Saturday, as they go back to Butler. So I just thought it would be a consequential time to go see him.
What was there?
We have Tom Cotton on, UU it's on. We also have Daniel Pletka, Mark Thiessen, and Rob Schneider, the comedian.
When you were in Pennsylvania, though, was there a way to gauge kind of the way that that race is feeling right now, presidential-wise?
I saw a lot of McCormick and Trump, a lot. But I was in the rural section, too. I mean, where you go a half mile without seeing another house. So, and then, you know, where the deli was also the distributor, was also the supermarket. So you get a sandwich, you get your produce. I couldn't believe this one place. And I go, why'd you pick this? He goes, there's no other supermarkets around. So, you know, that rural section, they got to deliver. She's trying to take a piece of that. He's also trying to take a piece of Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
You're not going to have Kamala on the show tomorrow night? She seems to be doing more interviews, Brian.
Right. And as you had just told me, she's getting worse. The interviews are actually getting worse.
Well, we knew that. I think that's why they don't do them. And I guess they're not going to really do very many between now and... Well, and the other thing that's great is Stephanie Ruhle actually defends the fact that... We knew that was going to kind of be a joke of an interview. But she defends the fact of, you know, people criticizing Kamala for not giving details. She's like, that's okay. We don't need details. Who needs details? It's just all about stopping Trump. That's essentially the message, and they're pretty effective at communicating it right now.
You should have in your media card, because if you're in the media, I don't care if you're covering SpaceX or you're covering the St. Louis Cardinals. You should want answers, and you should want people to talk to you. And if you don't, you're really in the wrong business. You're there to get people elected, and you're there to be famous, which is not why we do it. We do it to make a difference, to understand. I'm curious. Great medium. Unbelievable job. But if people there, I think, have a degree of success or fulfillment, is because you're trying to get to the bottom of things. You're trying to learn more. Is your goal to learn more, or is your goal to get her elected? Work on the campaign then.
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think we know that. Brian Kilmeade, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. You'll hear One Nation and see it tomorrow night at Fox, 8 p.m. Central here in St. Louis. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk next week. Thanks, Brian.
Go get it, Mark. Thank you.
At the beginning, we Brian referenced the situation from Atlanta, and I have something else picked out for audio cut of the day. And I actually started the roundtable with this just because I thought it was such a unique situation. This is a reporter for the Fox affiliate down in Atlanta. His name is Bob Van Dillen, and he's doing a live shot, as they call it in the TV world, reporting on all the flooding down there.
Here we've got this lady drove into the area that's flooded out, and she's screaming right now. I just called 911. I'm in North Atlanta right now, on the corner of Northside Street, Northside Drives. Pretty big populated area right here. She is still screaming, but we got you. We got you. 911, they're coming. You're good. You're good. Oh, man, it's a situation. We will get back to you in a little bit. I'm going to go see if I can help this lady out a little bit more, you guys. I'll be back.
So look, he doesn't, they called 911. Typically, you have rising floodwaters. If you're not a professional, if you're not an EMT, you're not supposed to get involved in that. But the woman is yelling. You could hear her screaming from the car. He goes out there and basically saves her.
There you go. Yeah, you guys reunited. All right, good. You're good. You're good? Yeah, don't. Yeah, man. Hey, absolutely. Yeah, of course. Anytime. I'll do it again. Don't go that way. Go this way. All right.
So I don't know what's going on there.
It's flooded out. It was up to my chest. So, and I dragged her out, but she's fine. She's just cold. Get her a blanket.
Yeah, get her a blanket. And then they asked him, you know, all this happened for the most part live on TV. He breaks away from the live shot. They're back in the studio on the set.
Bob, when we saw you last, there was a lady in that white car behind you, and we could hear her screaming her head off during your live shot, and eventually you said, I've called 911, but the water was rising, and you had to do something, so pick up the story.
I know that we're swamped here with all the 911 calls because there's so many high water rescues that we've already documented so far. And called 911 in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and you could hear her screaming, right? You could hear it during my live shot real loud. And that's her car right there. Windshield wipers are still on. So I just said, you know what? I realize I'm with you guys. I'm on the air, but I can't let it go. So I just... I dropped everything, and I took my wallet out of my pants, and I went in there, waded in about chest deep. Yeah.
That's the type of guy Bob Van Dillen is. I've known Bob for probably 15 years. So don't be humble, my friend. I was not surprised at all when you took off your gear and on live television said, I've got to go do something.
if you hear Bob Van Dillen, the reporter, kind of narrating this, you can hear there's a little bit of an awkward, uncomfortable laughter that he's expressing. And I think he's a little embarrassed because he doesn't think he did anything special here, but he talks about why he did it.
I was concerned at one that maybe there was a nice swift current, but the current really wasn't that bad. But the water temperature I was afraid with, too, the water temperature is probably about 80. So all those things were working pretty nicely. Now, that being said, the water came up to about my chest, and she was in there, and she was still strapped into her car, and the water was actually rising and getting up into the car itself. So she was about, you know, almost neck deep submerged in her own car.
If you hadn't done that,
she's on her phone with her husband.
What would have happened had you not gone in there? She would have drowned.
Well, it looks like it hasn't gotten that much. I don't know. I told her, okay, undo your seatbelt. And she undid her seatbelt, and I said, let me have your phone, let me have your bags, and then put on my back, and then we walked in. So she's short. She's probably about this tall. So I put her on my back and just brought in. She's fine. She was in shock. She was cold, shivering, so I gave her one of my shirts, and she was in our car just warming up. About 10 minutes later, the fire department came, saw that we were okay, and they went on to the next rescue, wherever they're going.
So one of the questions that they asked Bob here is, have you kind of shared this story with your wife?
A heroic act, but you know you're never supposed to do any of that stuff. Is your wife watching you right now on TV? Because you've got a lot of explaining to do.
You know what? I texted her. I said, let's just keep this under wraps. She doesn't know what happened or anything.
I'm going to text
her
right now.
Don't tell her. You guys.
Allie.
No, Janice, come on. You know her. Don't tell.
I'm going to tell her.
That's good.
Everyone now knows.
When I go home, she's eventually going to lose her shoe in my butt when she finds out.
Thanks for saving that lady and crossing that police tape that is behind you. That means don't cross, but you did it anyway. And it was a good deed for the day.
There he is, Bob Van Dillen in Atlanta. He's a hero. I love that audio. It's a bit of a pre-audio cut of the day audio for you. Got different stuff picked out for coming up next. Well, I'm certainly bummed for people who were expecting to see the show at Busch Stadium tonight, Billy Joel and Sting. Friday night, and now have to go on Sunday night, and some people can't do that, so they have to sell their tickets or get refunds. But I don't know that it would have been a lot of fun sitting out there waiting for this show to start. It probably would have started late because of the rain, so maybe they made the right decision. Dave Murray did indicate that a lot of this rain is moving out, so by 8 o'clock tonight, we shouldn't have much rain, and just a slight chance throughout the rest of the weekend. It certainly could rain, and we have Evolution Festival tomorrow and Sunday at Forest Park. I already did like a pre-audio cut of the day, but let's do the real one. Here.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
I think this is shocking, and I'm going to kind of put this into perspective here. So I left the TV on, apparently, when I left the house, and my wife walks in, Fox is on, and she sends me a screen capture of a slide that they had on Fox that says, non-detained, non-citizen convicted criminals, 13,099 convicted of homicide, 15,811 convicted of sexual assault, 425,000 convicted criminals illegally free in the U.S. And she said, is this real? I said, yeah, unfortunately, it's real.
According to a letter that the acting director of ICE just sent to Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez, on ICE's non-detained docket, they're currently tracking 425,000 non-citizens who have been convicted of a crime. Of that number, over 13,000 non-citizens have convictions for homicide and are on the non-detained docket, meaning they're roaming the country right now. On top of that, there are another 15,811 non-citizens convicted of sexual assault who are roaming the country right now on ICE's non-detained docket.
I doubt highly that there are too many progressive whack jobs listening right now, but if you are listening, how would you respond to that, progressive nut jobs? Because how would AOC respond to that? Ah, that's fine. Don't worry about a bunch of killers just roaming the country, you bigoted, xenophobic Republicans.
The ICE director also says there are currently just under 1,900 non-citizens on the non-detained docket who have pending homicide charges who are roaming the country, and another 4,250 non-citizens who have pending sexual assault charges who are roaming the country on the non-detained docket.
So that is shocking. And it'll be very interesting to see. I saw reporting on that on Fox. When I open the New York Times or the Washington Post or the LA Times or the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, I have not seen that story covered at all, which is interesting. Here's something for the Trump campaign, if they don't realize it already. You take that slide that I just referred fruit juice that my wife sent me from Fox News. Slap that on an ad and stop hawking minted coins over the weekend. You got a presidential race that is over in 5 weeks. So do something here on the campaign to actually highlight this. Have a great weekend. I hope you get to Billy Joel and Sting on Sunday night. We'll see you on Monday.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.